up next, Minding Your Business, sponsored by Sandler Training, with marketing strategist and author Robin Block. This former New Yorker brings on the tough love to help you separate the gems from the junk and get the job done. Listen and learn. It's real business know-how for today's entrepreneurs. Now, here's Robin.
Welcome to the first Minding Your Business from KKOL in Seattle. Thanks for joining us. I'm Robin Block. It's holiday shopping season, and on today's show, we'll be talking about retail business. We've got three great guests that will give us their perspective on what it takes to run a business that relies on driving customers in the door every day, even in this economy. Our first guest, Steve Naramore of Sip & Ship, owns and operates two successful stores in Seattle. Tammy Jones, who has experience running one of Seattle's oldest retail shops, now runs the new Ventures gift store in Pike's Market. And Miriam Works of Works Consulting has more than 20 years of experience helping nonprofit and for-profit retail enterprises get started, grow, and transform. Stay with us for these interviews and more this hour on Minding Your Business. Minding Your Business is about giving you the tools and information you need to start, run, and grow your small business. Our first guest probably wasn't thinking of opening a retail business when he went to college. In fact, Steve Naramore, who grew up in Rochester, New York, graduated with a degree in theater arts and English lit. After 15 years in the cruise industry in Miami, Florida, Steve made his way to the West Coast, where he worked in corporate customer service, PR, and marketing for 10 years. In 2001, Steve moved to Seattle, where he and his wife, Diana, opened Ballard's Sip & Ship the following year. 6 years later, the couple opened their second store in Greenwood. As the name implies, Sip & Ship includes a coffee house and shipping center. What the name doesn't tell you is that it's also a gift shop. In 2009, Sip & Ship received the Mayor's Small Business Award, and in 2010, the Home Street Bank Community Award. Welcome to Minding Your Business, Steve.
Nice to be here.
What did you do before you started Sip & Ship? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, before we came to Seattle. We both worked in the cruise industry, Diana and I. I worked on board the cruise ships and then transitioned to working in the home offices. And there I worked in public relations and marketing and also customer service. And it was an interesting difference in the type of business that I was doing. Working on board, I found myself very close to the business, the product itself. And then in the offices, I found myself a little bit more separated from that. And I really missed being on the floor and being there with the passengers and wanted to find a way that we might be able to recreate those types of things. We didn't really know what that was going to be. But when we relocated to the Seattle area, we had always talked about possibly opening up a business, and we'd researched those different options and ideas, and those things started to come to fruition as soon as we came here to Seattle.
Before we get to your developing your concept for the store, what did you do on the cruise ship?
I was kind of Julie McCoy, I guess. I was part of the...
remind our listeners who Julie McCoy was.
That's right. It used to be something everyone knew. Julie McCoy was the cruise director on a Caribbean cruise line.
The Love Boat?
The Love Boat.
Yeah.
And welcoming you aboard, and... Basically,
you don't look like her.
No, I don't. I don't. I don't look that good in heels either. So, but I was part of the crew staff, so my main job actually was selling shore excursions and tours into the different islands, and but also a member of the crew staff. So I got to experience not only my theatrical side, what I got to interact with the customers or the passengers, but then also got an experience of the business side as well by selling tours and different things for the passengers. But it was a fun job. It was a job that I kind of knew right away I was never going to be able to do forever. And but had a great time, met a lot of fantastic people, and got to see a lot of the world as well.
And then after that, you landed in California.
In California. Once I transitioned from there, I decided I was either going to chase my theatrical dreams and realize quickly that that wasn't really going to go very far. And realized that there's another cruise line there in Los Angeles, and I went to work for them right away and used that as my stepping stone to get into marketing and PR, which is something I was very interested in exploring.
And what did you do in marketing specifically?
Marketing, I was a I handled the different promotions that Princess Cruises handled. We would give away free cruises at the Los Angeles Dodgers
games.
That's
a tough sell, huh?
That was tough. Yeah, that was hard. Can you please take this cruise? And just promoting the brand itself through different types of promotions, either with, you know, Corn Flakes or the Los Angeles Dodgers or somebody like that. So somehow to get involved with sweepstakes and those types of things.
Okay. And then after that, when you moved to Seattle with Diana.
Right. Diana, well, we met there at Princess Cruises, had our own little love boat connection thing. two different shows that most people won't remember. But we moved to Seattle. We'd already had our first son at that point. And we decided we didn't want to raise him down in the L.A. area. He wanted to come up to Seattle. I'd been up here on business a few times. And we came up here with really not too much planned. We came up at that point in 2001, but we did know that we wanted to explore the option of opening up a business. We had researched a mailbox, et cetera, type of store. We had researched different types of retail things. Diana's always been very into writing and letterpress cards and those types of things. And we ended up kind of coming up with this type of a format where, because we thought mailbox, et cetera, was a little bit too one-dimensional, wasn't interesting enough to keep us involved on a daily basis. And we'd also thought how great it would be to have a cafe. I'd always sort of thought it'd be great to have a cafe of some sort, and I jokingly would say, you put coffee with almost any business in Seattle, you're bound to be successful. And that's not necessarily true, but it certainly has helped in many ways. And
how do you think it's helped?
Well, I think we first looked at the business. You were a mailbox store. The main thrust of that business is the mailboxes. You want to get those rented. So those are people coming through the door on a daily or certainly a few times a week. They're coming in to get their mail, and they're seeing your store. They're seeing different things in there, and you think at first this is the backbone that we need. But with coffee, you have a completely separate, very strong and able backbone of those people who are coming in to get their coffee every day. And we certainly know how we all love our coffee here in Seattle, and that's so that ended up being two prongs to the business that wouldn't necessarily have to cross. But then, of course, that's what happens is that they do cross, and that person who's coming to get their mail sees and smells and, you know, all of these wonderful cups of coffee, and they're, oh, I think I'll go get a cup of coffee today.
And conversely, people who are regulars coming in for coffee become somewhat of a marketing tool for you.
Exactly.
In that they can see all the gifts that you provide and the other services. They're reminded. It's a top of mind kind of aspect of the business.
Exactly, and it's a door opening type of a thing that every business wants to accomplish there.
So, what kind of other products? You have a gift shop. You mentioned the cards and so forth, but
a lot of just beautiful, one of a kind type of letterpress cards. We have certainly candles. Right now, Diane is getting into a lot of homeware, so we have a lot of beautiful pillows and things like that you can decorate your home with. We have artwork on the wall as well that is just beautiful. Candles and cards are kind of synonymous with a lot of little tiny stores like that. But, gosh, there's all sorts of different things. I'm having a hard time even picturing what those things are at this moment.
Well, I'm sure our guests could visit your website and see a few more. Or go
Moleskins,
to the store even.
All sorts of things. Yeah, all kinds of things that we have available.
So how do you source your products? Where do you go looking for them? Do people come to you? Do you go to gift shows?
Yes, all of those. All of the above. Certainly people come across the threshold of the store almost daily and wanting to talk to Diana. Diana is the main buyer for the business. And when we started the business, it was, you know, she kind of knew a few things that she wanted to have out there. And but as you open those doors, then you start to meet more people. You get to meet reps and people who are going to be repping different lines and different cards and paper lines and those types of things. And then it just kind of grows from there. And then you obviously expand on that by going to gift shows, by going to, you know, the gift shows here in Seattle, Chicago, New York, Atlanta, San Francisco. Those are all spots that you can go to kind of grow different types of retail options that you want to have.
We're speaking with Steve Naramore of Sip and Ship about his retail experiences. What do you think about going from corporate to retail? Do you run a retail business? What's your niche? We'd like to hear about it. So if someone who had a product, let's say in Seattle, who wanted to maybe get some retail exposure in your store, what would they need to do?
I think the first thing to do would be to email us some kind of a sample, a picture of that, or give us a pitch that way. It's difficult to you do have to do cold calls certainly as well. Coming into the store, sometimes you can get lucky, but honestly, 9 times out of 10, we're busy with a lot of other things. It's difficult for us to give us your time or for us to give you time to actually look those things over.
So once they email you, what kind of information are you looking for?
We're looking for price points. We're looking for how this is going to fit into our store. We want to be able to see an example of it. We're very visual type of people, I guess you could say.
So if they put a picture in the email, would that be useful?
Absolutely.
Maybe
absolutely.
A sales sheet, something absolutely. Like that, like
all
a that PDF?
In. Yep, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
That's great. So you had the one store, which you opened in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And then several years later, you decided to open another one.
We got crazy.
What happened?
Yeah, I know. Well, I think at that point, that was 2007 when we started to seriously consider it. I think we'd had a couple of close calls with maybe purchasing an existing business or moving in that direction. So I think we got close and it didn't happen, and then something else came up, and we really didn't want it to get away. And I think it was something that we wanted to challenge ourselves with. And the Sip and Ship in Ballard had been running extremely, extremely well, had been successful, been growing. And in my mind, I kind of felt that, if you own several businesses, that's a stamp of approval. You're doing well if you have more than one business.
Unless they're failing.
Unless they are failing. And once we started going down that road, you start to see those, you read those stories, don't let the new store is going to pull down the original store and those types of things. So
you can't rest on your successes.
Exactly. I think we wanted to kind of see what else we could do, and we kind of looked at our store as although it's not a franchise, it's you just pick up this franchise, and you can put it in another neighborhood, and it'll be successful. And honestly, that hasn't been the fact. It's been a much different neighborhood. Which Greenwood is it's a great neighborhood, but it's different, and it's been hard for us to kind of get our feet and to figure it out exactly. It's been 3 years that we've been there, and we're starting to kind of get a toehold and understand our customers and the community there a little bit better.
What do you see as the key differences?
Well, when we went into Ballard, we were right next to a Kinko's, and so we never really felt that the copy business was something that we wanted to go into. So we had just a general copier that was there available for customers, but nothing full-blown. And then when we went into Greenwood, there is no copy store up there. There's really no available for nothing like that available for customers to walk in and just use. So that is something that we were not prepared for. And then we ended up adding in more services like that. And that's been a really good aspect to that part of the business.
Well, we're going to be talking more with Steve later in the program. Thank you very much. You're listening to Minding Your Business at Money Talk Radio, KKOL 1300 AM in Seattle. It's all about retail business on today's show. Coming up next, we'll be talking about one of the oldest retail businesses in Seattle.
We'll be back with more Minding Your Business with Robin Block after this on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. Once again, here's Robin.
We're here discussing retail business in this holiday shopping season. Are you the owner of a small business? Share your story with us. Our next guest began her career in retail working for one of the oldest retail establishments in Seattle. Tammy James has been involved in retail for 30 years and has helped open and run 8 retail stores. She's now the retail store program manager for Ventures, which has located to the Pike Place Market. The store is part of a program run by the Community Alliance for Self-Help, otherwise known as Washington Cash, an organization that empowers aspiring entrepreneurs who have limited resources. The program provides the hands-on education, support, and access to capital needed to launch and grow small enterprises. Ventures is a showcase for the handmade goods produced by the organization's clients. The store is also a training ground for learning product development, pricing, packaging, and marketing strategies. In addition to running Ventures, Tammy and her husband own and operate Ye Olde Curiosity Shop on the Seattle waterfront. Welcome to Minding Your Business, Tammy.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about Ye Olde Curiosity Shop. When was it started?
Ye Olde Curiosity Shop was started in 1899 by my husband's great-grandfather. So my husband is fourth-generation owner, and our sons are now actively involved, and hopefully they'll be the fifth generation.
So for those people who aren't familiar with the shop, can you tell us a little bit about its concept and the kind of products you have there?
Sure. The old Curiosity Shop, when it was first founded, was actually opened up as a grocery store. But Daddy Stanley, as everyone calls him, had an amazing collection of wonders from nature. And he kept collecting and collecting, and pretty soon there were more curios than there were groceries. So he kind of rethought his concept and opened up Seattle's first Curiosity Shop. It's always been on the Seattle waterfront, although through the course of the years, the Seattle waterfront has changed.
That's true. It got raised and lowered. And
First Avenue to...
Yeah, exactly.
To
so what pier is it near?
It's on Pier 54.
Oh, okay.
We share Ivers Pier. Actually, Ivers are our landlords, and it's a really great relationship. They're really great people, and I think we both complement each other.
Absolutely. Food. Fun food. Makes sense. You had a VIP reception last night for the new store in the Pike Place Market for Ventures. Can you tell me anything exciting happened there last night?
Sure. Ventures being a nonprofit, it's important for us to let everyone know that we exist and that we were celebrating our relocation. The store actually was opened a year and a half ago, but it was located in Pioneer Square. And that was one of the lessons we learned is that, you know, location, location, location.
True for any retail establishment.
That's right. Luckily, even though the store was amazing, our traffic wasn't what we needed it to be there to be successful. So we had another opportunity to relocate, and we moved into the Pike Place Market, and it's fabulous.
Why is it fabulous?
There's a lot of traffic. There's a lot of energy. All of the nature of our clients that we have in there and our businesses. What Ventures does, like you were saying, we help entrepreneurs get started. So in Ventures, there is over 125 small businesses. And somehow we kind of pull them all together, and it looks like a real retail store, and it operates like a real retail store. But what we're doing is helping launch these businesses.
Can you describe for our listeners what the store looks like right now?
Being the market, it has
lower level.
Lower level.
Yeah.
If you know where Rachel the Pig is or where they throw the salmon, we're just one floor underneath that. And it's a cute store. It has a lot of pipes running through it. And
how high is the ceiling?
Like 7 feet, maybe.
Yeah. What did it look like before you did the build out?
Well, it hadn't been renovated in 27 years. So we were able to give it a fresh coat of paint and refinish the floors and bring in some new fixtures. And it looks nice.
I was at the reception last night, and part of the charm I felt was that there are these little nooks and crannies of rooms where you can have cute little products and display, and the merchandising is really interesting. Can you describe how you decided to merchandise the store?
We try to merchandise with as we can by artist or by company, but sometimes like horse cookies is one of the
newest. Yeah, where does that go?
The newest product
we
brought in.
You mean, is that horse-shaped cookies? Or?
No, they are actually biscuits that
are
made for horses.
Wow.
Whether this is going to be a location that supports that business, the jury is out. But it's a good starting point for that client. And basically, we'll probably figure out, you know, where they should be located, like Duval Wooden Feed, Feed and Seed, or more.
It's such a great proving ground in a way, because you get such a variety of people into Pike's Market that you'll get that feedback. I mean, you might actually get some horsey people coming in who will say, wow, I didn't even know they made these.
Yeah.
And could you sell them in the store that's out in Bellevue?
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's great exposure, and also you get that immediate feedback.
But a lot of our products, though, are everything. In order to be in Ventures, you don't necessarily have to have gone through the Washington Cash training program, but you would have to qualify. And what we're doing is we're trying to help people who need the most help. Maybe they don't have access to college or access to money. And we provide that. We provide the business training. You might have a really great product that you make, but do you actually know how to market it or to make a living selling your product? So we kind of have that support. We provide that support for our clients and just kind of really help launch their business and help them grow. And we have a lot of amazing people, beautiful, beautiful jewelry, handmade goods, baby items, like I said, animal products, candles, stained glass art, just very eclectic and really interesting, one-of-a-kind items. Everything has to be handmade.
Oh, that's a nice angle. At least, I mean, people, well, their expectation is set before they go that they know everything will be handmade. And it's all local, too, right?
All local.
We've been speaking with Tammy James of Ventures about retail business. What do you think about locating a business in Pike's Market? Do you have a business of your own? What's your niche? We'd like to hear about it. With your accumulated experience in Ye Olde Curiosity Shop, what do you think you really bring to the table running Ventures?
I bring a lot of years of retail. I also have a real passion. Back in 2007, Ye Olde Curiosity Shop branched out, and we had kind of a life-changing experience on a trip that we took to Thailand. And we were shopping, and we were actually buying products for Ye Olde Curiosity Shop, and ended up in a very small village in Thailand. And we spent about $500 in that village, and we were just having really great time shopping. But when we left, the village elder came to us and said, "You don't really know what you just did." And it's like, well, we just bought a lot of great merchandise. And they said, "No, you just were able to send 50 kids to school for a whole year." From that concept, we just went, oh my gosh, there's a lot of power in retail. You can really do great things with retail. So from that experience, we opened a fair trade store in Ballard, and unfortunately, another lesson in retail is timing, and 2007 was not the best time to launch a brand new business.
Why do you say that?
The economy went downhill pretty fast during that crash, and being a new store, we weren't able to make that one successful. So we kind of reined in and brought everything back to Ye Olde Curiosity Shop, but we learned a lot, like I said, about the power of retail. And I learned that I wanted to continue on that journey and that mission and see what I could do to help people. And I found Washington Cash, and it's just been a marriage made in heaven. I love my job. I love working with our clients and helping them become successful.
Excellent. So tell us, isn't this weekend your grand opening weekend?
It is our grand opening, and a lot of our clients will be there showing their wares and talking about their life's experience and their products, and we would just really love everyone to come down. We're open until 6 o'clock, and it's all day today, all day tomorrow.
And do you have any unique products you brought in just for the holidays, like chocolate candy canes or...
Not specifically for the holidays, but just fabulous merchandise. The shelves are loaded, and we're all excited to show everybody what we have and what we do.
You're listening to Minding Your Business at Money Talk Radio, KKOL 1300 AM in Seattle. We've been speaking with Tammy James, who runs the Ventures, the new Ventures store in the lower level of the Pike Place Market, right below the pig named
Rachel.
Rachel, I didn't even know she had a name. It's all about retail business on today's show. Coming up next, we'll be speaking with a retail consultant who's worked with a variety of nonprofit and for-profit organizations. Stay tuned. Our next guest has over 30 years of retail experience. Seattle native Miriam Works has a unique perspective on retailing and offers services through her firm, Works Consulting, which she started in 1993. Miriam has had many roles in retail herself, from buyer and manager for nationally noted crafts gallery La Tienda, and as assistant director for the local retail powerhouse, Fireworks. Lately, Miriam has been involved in other major retail establishments in Seattle, including the Friend Shop at the Seattle Central Library, the marketplace at the Wing Luke Asian Museum, Chocolopolis, and Paper Hammer. Miriam's latest project is the design of an innovative retail shop for the new Museum of History and Industry, slated to open in South Lake Union next November. Welcome to Minding Your Business, Miriam.
Thank you, Robin. It's great to be here.
We want the magic bullet. What does it take to be successful in retail today?
Oh, the magic bullet. Oh, my gosh. We're all looking for that, aren't we, in every single area of our lives? I think kind of what your other guests have talked about kind of points us in the right direction. We're really the folks that I know that are successful in retail are people who really have a passion for it, who really care, and who are wonderful hosts. They're people who want to create a community experience for their guests, in a sense. And we're all so concerned about the competition with online and how are we going to, you know, fight those things that are all available online so easily and at the click of a button and all of that. But what we do in person is what I call the non-line experience. It's a method of really providing an experience for your customers. It's what can't happen through a machine. You know, I think we all love online buying. We all do it. We all buy merchandise that way. But in a sense, it's like microwaving your dinner. It's fast. It's easy. But it's not an experience. And it doesn't create community. And it doesn't really fulfill a deep human need, which we all have, which is to talk with each other and to be shown products and to care together about what we're doing.
I thought it was all about how fast you could tweet somebody.
Yeah, it sometimes feels that way. But, you know, it's like so many other things that there are wonderful places for, you know, tweeting and Facebooking. And I'm all over that. I love all that. But it's not the entire range of human experience. We need to do things that we care about. And again, some of the experiences that your other guests have talked about kind of fit with my experiences in which retail is being used as it's an educational tool. It's a method of being entertained. It's a method of finding community. It's a method of people coming together around. Yes, it's objects. Yes, it's commercial. Yes, it's about commerce, but it's also about human interaction.
So, and what is let's take that down to a concrete level. On a day-to-day basis, how do you actually deliver on an experience? What does it begin with?
Well, there are some very big fundamentals, which I think for anyone who's had a bad experience in a retail store, certainly they can quickly talk about what it is that doesn't work. Well, what does work is a welcoming environment. You know, the word customer service doesn't even really begin to capture the welcome that each human being in every store that wants to succeed needs to give to every other human being that walks into their store. You know, there's that kind of 10-10 rule where the person that comes into your store needs to be inside the store for 10 seconds or inside the store by 10 feet. And at that point, they need to have a warm welcome. That's very important. And
how many times have we all walked into a store and all they say is, "How are you?" And yes. So you're in a mall and you go into 10 stores and every person has said, "How are you?" It's so ingenuous. So how do you mix that up? How do you make that work?
Well, and that's part of why I'm very drawn on a personal level in my own business to businesses that operate for the greater good, in a sense, for a higher purpose, whether it's to fulfill a need for community, whether it's to educate their customers, whether it's to provide an experience, a kind of a more integrated experience for their customers. It's very tough in a large mall setting to reproduce what we entrepreneurial retailers and museum and nonprofit retailers can provide for our customers. It's very, very difficult for, you know, the larger superstores to really to provide that.
So how do you greet someone when they come 10 feet in?
So I it's different for every single person. And I think if you, again, talking with your other guests, I think you will find that. And that's part of what the public loves and wants. So it will depend on who that person is. But I might say, hey, how are you doing today? Or I might say, wow, great scarf. You need that today. It's cold out, isn't it? Or, oh my gosh, when was the last time you were in? I haven't seen you for a while. Or just, hello, welcome to my store. Is there anything in particular you're looking for today? But I find that a warm, engaging welcome is so much more appreciated than, how may we help you today? You know, or some kind of a commercial or sales-oriented greeting.
Right.
It does need to be warm and genuine.
And that's where the small store has a leg up.
Absolutely.
On some of those more commercialized chains and that kind of thing.
It's just very, very difficult for a chain to duplicate that kind of caring and that kind of warmth.
So once you get someone into the store, mm-hmm. how do you get them to move around the shop so they see a lot of your goods?
So, and that's one of the things that I spend a lot of time with my clients on, which is kind of a store layout. One needs to be able to, so the person that enters your store, your potential customer, needs to be able to see their landscape of options sitting out there in front of them. It needs to be clean, very, very clean. It needs to be attractive. In other words, you've spent some time on your displays. There needs to be no tripping hazards. There needs to not be baskets in the aisleway. There needs to be none of, I love the Paco Underhill phrase, butt brush syndrome. So we need to have no butt brush syndrome where we back up into a display and find that, ooh, I've run out of room.
Or it could be purse brush.
Could
I mean, that happens to
brush.
Me a lot. You know, you carry a large bag and you're like, oops.
Right? Yes. And I think that's a tough one for those of us who don't have a lot of square footage. And we really need to think that through. What is the layout for our customer? How are they going to move through the space?
So there are those practical considerations, which are very, very important. That's kind of the functional part. But form follows function, right? How do you actually elevate the space to make it more of that experience that we were talking about?
Well, hopefully your product mix is amazing. And that is something that, you know, we're lucky in Seattle. We've got amazing retailers. We've got some really, really cool stores. And you can go in and see the very best of retail display out there. We need to.
So, I mean, you're suggesting that people who are thinking about starting retail or have retail actually go out and experience best in class kind of things.
Visit every store you're attracted to. Look at what works in that store, what doesn't work, and really take a kind of a survey approach to looking at what kinds of experiences you enjoy. And how can I duplicate those experiences? Yeah, learn from the best. Absolutely.
We've been speaking with Miriam Works of Works Consulting about retail business and what makes it work. Are you in retail or do you plan to open a business? What's your niche? We'd like to hear about it. You had a lot of experience in fireworks. Mm-hmm. And you helped to open 4 stores.
Yes.
So sure. I'm sure that was quite a challenge. I mean, they have so many small products. It must have been thousands of pieces that had to be merchandised and moved and shipped and packed and whatever.
Yes.
That kind of thing. So what are some of the key issues around opening a new store?
Well, there are so many. You kind of multiply everything. You know, they say, you know, having your one child is one thing. You have your second child and the work is, you know, magnified by, you know, X degrees. So with a store, you're not just multiplying everything you do twofold. So every time you open a new store, it's kind of exponential. I think that one needs to really look at their operations really carefully. They need to look at their staff training, their staff support. Anything that goes wrong or anything that goes a little bit awry in your first store is going to be magnified in your second store. So you really want to be doing a great job analyzing what you're doing in your first store. You know, you need to obviously have the energy, the staff, the drive, you know, the money to get you through the beginning, you know, year to at least know that you've got that financial underpinning so that you can afford to get out there and take that risk.
So you work with a lot of different types of clients.
Mm-hmm.
What do you look for in a great client?
Oh, that's a great question. I look for folks who have, in a sense, a mission that they really care about what they're doing. And I've found that to be a commonality between entrepreneurial, you know, for-profit small stores, and not-for-profit stores. And that's the commonality. So Lauren Adler up at Chocolopolis might say, my passion in life is to help people understand chocolate, artisan chocolate from all over the world. Whereas at the marketplace at the Wing Location Museum, they want to help their visitors understand the Asian Pacific American experience, the history and the culture. Both entities, one for-profit, one not-for-profit, care very, very deeply about what they're doing, so that their engagement in what they are trying to do, yeah, do they want to make money? Yes, they need to make revenue. But they also, they have a higher purpose and a higher cause.
It has to have a heart.
It
has
to have a heart.
You need heart.
Thank you. Yes, that's a great way to put it.
And in my mind, passion is so critical, because it's so hard to do business today that's what drives you.
Right.
And gets you over the rough spots, so to speak.
Yeah, that stick-to-itiveness. So that's a hard word to say. But it needs to come from somewhere. And where does that come from? It comes from, your heart. So an easy thing to talk about in a way, and a hard thing to duplicate sometimes.
Yes. Thank you, Miriam. We've been speaking with Miriam Works of Works Consulting. And after the break, we'll be speaking to all our guests about trends in retail, the challenges and opportunities of doing business in Seattle, and more. Stay tuned.
Now we return to Minding Your Business with Robin Block on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. Once again, here's Robin.
You've been listening to a show that's all about retail during this holiday shopping season, and we've had several guests with us today to talk about it. We've had Steve Narramore of Sip and Ship. He's got two stores, one in Greenwood and one in Ballard. We have Tammy James that's running the new venture store that's down in Pike's Market. And we have Miriam Works of Works Consulting, where she deals with everything retail. But now we're going to talk about a whole bunch of things, and we hope you can join us. If you have any questions, feel free to call in at 866-712-1300 and tell us what you think about our show, about our retail and doing business in Seattle. Let's throw it out to our panel here. Christmas decorations seem to go up really early this year. I mean, I was seeing things before Halloween. What do you think about that? Was it too early?
I think we only have ourselves to blame for that, actually. I went into Fred Meyer and other places, and sure, it's kind of hidden in the back, and I've seen people on Facebook all complain about it and hate it and this type of thing. And
that's interesting.
But somewhere, someone out there is buying Christmas decorations in October. I don't know who it is, but they're definitely doing that.
You know, when I was with fireworks for so many years, we sold ornaments year-round and did a handy business. And I think that is not too uncommon. I think some folks will collect.
You're right, Miriam. So, I mean, we've seen the Christmas stores. They're open 24/7, I guess, like all year round. Mm-hmm. But I'm assuming the sales peaked at a certain point.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. So was it worth taking up inventory space for something so seasonal?
I think, you know, it's one of those things where you have to look at your numbers and see if it's warranted. But, you know, it is kind of partly what our other guest said, which is it's driven by what the public wants. You know, what are we looking for? What are we shopping for?
So,
you know,
demand,
if somebody
drives,
is doing
supply.
It. Yeah. If somebody
That's
is looking
a new concept.
For it.
Tammy, do you have any comment about our Halloween Christmas decorations?
Halloween's a bit early, but it's kind of, we try to get our decorations up so they're up the day after Thanksgiving, and that's kind of a challenge. So it's usually, for us, it takes about a week.
That's coming up next week, right? We have, what is that, Black Friday?
Black Friday.
Are you guys ready for Black Friday?
Oh, yeah.
We're actually closed on Black Friday. We actually have not seen big numbers ourselves on those particular days. So we use that day for the crew to kind of all get together and to kind of rest. And kind of then we have our Black Saturday, I guess, is what
that's
we
fantastic.
Call it after
oh,
that.
Okay. So. Well, that's supposed to be Small Business Saturday next week.
That's right.
We're going to talk about that on the show next week. But yeah. Do you have a special name for your Black Friday, for your
Our actual Black Friday, as far as the shipping is concerned, is I think this year it's going to be around the 17th. It's usually 16th or 17th of December is the busiest day, which is I think the post office usually has that day circled as well as the busiest shipping day of the year.
And it's probably like the last day you can get stuff cross-country or
something like that. It gets desperate after that point, and so people are just lined out the door.
Desperation.
That's right. We're sprinkling pixie dust everywhere. So.
At Ye Olde Curiosity Shop, we always say our Christmas comes in July and August.
Oh, because it's
very seasonal.
Yeah.
And being our first holiday at the market, it is really impacted by tourism, but there's also a lot of local support. So it'll be really fun to see what that's about.
So we're all looking forward to this holiday shopping period. But as we know, we're still stuck in this really dreary economy. What do you think the effect is going to be this year on this holiday shopping period?
One thing that I have noticed over the years, if a lot of people are choosing to spend their holiday dollars more carefully. So if they can choose to spend it to buy fair trade merchandise or to support local entrepreneurs or kind of a gift with a cause, I've noticed that's just getting bigger and bigger every year.
Yeah, Shop for a Cause is huge, you know, all over the country and certainly in Seattle where we really pay attention to our, you know, social awareness. It's sort of commonly known retailers everywhere, small retailers everywhere are kind of putting out the, you know, this particular Saturday I'll give my proceeds or a percentage of my proceeds to you know, whatever charity that they have targeted as their cause to support. And that's something that is an intergenerational phenomenon, both folks in their, you know, 60s to 80s, as well as the folks in there, you know, from age 15 to age 25, you know, they all care about where do our shopping dollars go, as Tammy said.
So it's vote with your wallet season, mm-hmm. you might say.
Very much so.
So speaking of kind of a political angle on our shopping, do we feel that Seattle is helpful towards small business retail?
It's such a tough one.
Well, let's be more specific. What do we think about Seattle parking and its impact on retail?
The parking has changed quite a bit. We opened in 2002 there in Ballard, and I think it was pretty much free parking all along Market Street there, or a two-hour minimum, and you'd rarely see the parking attendant go up and down there. But it's obviously now there's paid parking, and it's good and bad. I think you can see the benefit of obviously the prime parking moving along, and you know people aren't camping out there all day. But at the same time, you know, you don't want people to be discouraged from coming to, you know, the Ballards, the Fremonts, the Greenwoods and Green Lakes and those type of areas. We want them to come in and be able to find a good place to park and have it be easy and get in and out. Whereas, you know, going to the mall, obviously, there's a lot other options there.
So are you implying that because the mall has free parking, it's a little bit more competition than maybe what happened before?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think so. I think in some ways it is moving the parking, the people who are going to be parking for a long period of time along a little more quickly.
I have noticed with the last round of increases at the $4 an hour, that really has impacted business and traffic and people really thinking about how if they're going to make a trip down or not to the places that
to the market
them. Mm-hmm. To the market. And when we were in Pioneer Square, it really impacted our business.
So parking fees, Steve, where you are in Ballard and Greenwood, do you know what it is per hour?
I think it's around three, I think.
Okay.
$3 to $4
an hour. And you get a two-hour limit.
But in Greenwood, it's 2 hours free. They don't have the stations there
still.
Yet. Still. And that actually there's a negative part about that. People complain to me all the time. I can never find a place to park around here. So
it has its pros and cons.
Yeah. So that I'm getting both ends there. So
and then parking down at the market, it's $4, two-hour limit. Anywhere around the market. And that's till when
it's
now?
It's till 8 o'clock now.
Wow.
And
yeah.
So have you noticed any – well, you haven't been there long enough. You've had the Ventures store at Pike's Market since
We opened
August?
In June. At the Pike's Market, we opened mm-hmm. in August, the end of August.
So have you noticed any big changes there?
Not as much there, but I also – not only the $4 an hour, but till 8 o'clock. We close at 6, so that's not – to us is important, but I imagine it must be impacting especially the restaurants.
So just to wrap up our interview here, so what do you think, Miriam, are some of the really hot trends in retail right now?
Well, what I'm loving that I'm hearing is the the selfish shopper. It's sort of, I buy for you, I buy for me. So there is a bit of a trend where, let's face it, most of our shoppers are female for these kinds of things that we're talking about. And that female shopper out there who is saying, I'll buy this for myself and I'll buy one for you while I'm out there gift shopping. So fabulous. We love that. It's a wonderful, wonderful trend.
We'll have a lot of them come into the Sip and Chip, I'm sure.
Oh. Yeah.
It looks like we're out of time. We'll have to continue this another time. You've been listening to Steve Naramore of Sip and Chip, Tammy James of Ventures, and Miriam Works of Works Consulting. More information may be found on the Minding Your Business website.
You've been listening to Minding Your Business, sponsored by Sandler Training with Robin Block. Real business know-how for today's entrepreneurs. Join us again next Saturday afternoon at 1 for more Minding Your Business with Robin Block here on Money Radio 1300 KKOL.